Welcome to the Should A Bet More podcast presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show today, Aaron Schatz of FTN Network will join us. We will talk some NFL offseason teams he thinks are overrated, underrated, talk about some draft stuff. So a week away from the draft, it's getting closer. NFL will be here before you know. That's the fun thing about this time of year, because you go right from NCAA tournament and then baseball. And then baseball starts, NBA playoffs, and before you know it, you look up and you're not that far. It takes you like into the summer, and before you know it, you're like a couple months away from preseason starting. So it'll be here before you know it. Draft is a fun time of the year. We will talk some offseason stuff with Aaron, teams he thinks are overrated, underrated. So excited to talk to him. And look, the draft will be fun anytime the quarterbacks are involved. I think anytime you get quarterbacks in the mix, I think that adds interest. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when it was like Hutchinson and, you know, Walker, and anytime it's defensive lineman, offensive lineman, it just doesn't have as much juice. We don't really know as much about those players. They don't move the needle. Even if they're good players, it's just not the way our minds work as football fans. But anytime you got a draft like this, a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of receivers, you could have like seven, maybe eight receivers. Eight might be a lot, but maybe seven receivers, at least six in the first round, probably four, if not five quarterbacks. I would think five quarterbacks with probably Penix goes in the first round. The problem with betting it is after Caleb Williams, who's going one to the Bears, we know that. I don't think that's a secret anymore. After that, I like to bet. I like to bet the draft. I don't like to guess. And maybe as we get closer here, it'll become clearer and clearer that it's Daniels, or it'll become clearer that it's May. I do think it's probably between those two players. And if I had to guess, I guess I'd go Daniels. But look, I don't feel like I have any information the book doesn't have. And from a betting standpoint, if you don't have any information the book doesn't have, like what's the point of betting? You're just kind of throwing darts. So maybe it's Daniels, maybe it's May. Washington has really kept their cards close to the vest here. So we shall see. I would think McCarthy goes shortly after. It's interesting, you got teams like the Cardinals and the Chargers that don't need the quarterback, and then you figure a team like Minnesota, who armed themselves with a second first round pick, they need a quarterback. I don't think they'll go with Darnold. I think they would probably be interested in trading up. I would think that's why they got the second first rounder. Again, is that for May? Is that for McCarthy? Who knows? And then you got teams like the Raiders and the Broncos. And if you're the Raiders and the Broncos, you look around the AFC, everybody in, throw the Patriots in this mix, I guess, too. Everybody in the AFC, other than those like three or four teams, I guess the Titans, I mean, everyone's got a quarterback or a guy they at least think is the quarterback. If you're Denver, especially in the division with Mahomes, if you're Vegas in the division with Mahomes and with Herbert, now that they got Harbaugh, you need a quarterback. You desperately, desperately need a quarterback. And it's just, look, it's easy to say that, but picking where they are, I don't know that it's easy to get one. So again, fascinating draft. I don't know that there's a ton I'd love to bet here. There's some over-unders that have started to pop up. Well, the over-unders are up. There's a week one Packers Eagles in Brazil. That line has popped up. Eagles laying 1.5. I guess that opened three and a half in some spots. And these books, they make mistakes, but the mistakes don't last too long, because that line should not be 3.5. Although I do have a pick here on the Packers season win total in a minute. Some stuff I do feel good about in the draft. I think the Jets, there's this idea that, hey, they addressed the offensive line in the offseason. They got Tyron Smith. They got a couple other guys. They're all set. I don't buy that. I think they'll probably pick an offensive lineman just because they got older players at the position, and such a premium is going to be put on protecting Rodgers. I mean, we know he only lasted four plays last year. I think you got to come in this season and say, hey, our job depends on, if you're the Jets, our job depends on Rodgers being healthy. Nothing works. Nothing can happen. We're not going to be here next year if Rodgers is not healthy. So if we're going to overstock our team, if we're going to have one extra at somewhere, let's make sure the offensive line is good. It's like pitching in baseball. It's like, all right, yeah, you only use five, but you're going to need six or seven because a couple are going to get hurt. So maybe they go Bowers, but Jets and pick an offensive line is like +130. I don't think that's a bad bet. I've heard Odunze associated with the Giants. You can get Odunze. His over-under draft is 8.5. I would go under. I think the Odunze to the Giants stuff is kind of real. Seems like they really like him. Seems like he's a guy. He's got a big, he's a big target, polished receiver. You need that to improve Jones. Unless you're going to draft Jones's replacement, which, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to. Jones is not the answer. Why they gave him all that money a couple years ago was just complete fool's gold when they had that miracle run to the playoffs and they beat the Vikings and they paid Barkley, they paid Jones. That was a mistake. They should have, that was that in a weird way, that playoff run was the worst thing to ever happen to him. So I don't know that they'll replace Jones. I think they'll give it one more year with him, and maybe they'll give him a nice weapon to work with. Because if you're going to defend Jones, which look, he's always hurt. I don't think he's very good. If you're going to defend Jones, you're going to say, hey, he hasn't had any receivers. He hasn't had any weapons. That's fair. So Odunze at six to the Giants, or the Giants minus 175 to pick a receiver, any of the receivers, I think is a good bet. So other than that, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. As we get closer, maybe by the time you listen to this, we will have more. We'll have maybe clearer information in terms of, all right, this team definitely likes that guy or whatever. But remember this time last year, the Texans hated Stroud. It was back and forth. It was between like four or five different guys. I remember listening to the shows, and Jalen Carter could go too. He's the most talented player after Bryce Young, which is even funny to think about now. Or it could be, what was it, Tyree Wilson, or it could be Levis. There was a ton of steam for Levis to go to. He was minus money to go to right before the draft, the week of, week before the draft. So, and then they ended up taking Stroud number two. So you never know. Anderson was favored to go second, and then they traded up to get him third. So I'm a little skeptical of the information I got. And here's the other thing too. I think with these NFL employees and NFL players getting trouble for betting, you know, we had the Lions guys, we had the guys on the Colts. I think that the sources have dried up a little bit, where people that leak stuff, I think, are a little on edge. Like, you know, I'm not going to lose my job for leaking this stuff. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And I think that message has gotten through, like, hey, no more leaking anything, nothing associated with betting. I wonder if that's true, because in past years, you know, if you knew enough people, you get some whispers of, hey, this could happen, that could happen, end up being true. Those little nuggets, those little whispers have certainly dried up. So I do wonder if that's part of why it's just harder to find information in terms of the draft. And again, it's just, you know, if you know something, then the books probably know it. It's just these mistakes. Here's the other thing too. There's so many eyes on this, these betting markets now. There's so many betting shows. There's so much discussion of betting that if you're going to make a line that's wrong, make a mistake on a line, it's not going to last that long. Same thing I said with the Packers Eagles. Like, if you make a mistake, okay, you can make one, you can catch mistakes, but they're not going to be there forever. I mentioned the Packers, just looking over some of these season win totals before we get to Aaron here. 10.5 for the Packers. I know they're going to be everybody's darling. The Texans are going to be everybody's darling. Young quarterbacks improved. Texans add Diggs. Texans add a bunch of players. I'd be very careful on both of them, but Packers under 10.5 is a bet for me. I think, look, it's very hard to win 11 games in the NFL. And that's that number, winning 11 games, that's reserved for the elite of the elite. That's the Chiefs. That's the 49ers. That's, I don't know, the Bengals when they have Burrow. Even the Bengals, I don't know, have gotten to that number too much. That's the Ravens when Lamar's healthy. That's just the cream of the crop. That's the best three or four teams get to 11 plus. It's hard to get to 11 plus. You got to, first of all, you have to play really well, and you got to keep your quarterback healthy for pretty much the whole season. If Love misses even three, four games, you're probably not winning 11 games with what Sean Clifford is a backup. So Packers under 10.5. I think, look, I get there's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be a lot of love for them. Come this summer when people are picking their Super Bowls, you're going to see a lot of people picking the Packers and the Texans in the Super Bowl, either both. I'd be careful. Texans are at 9.5. Again, we talked about that a week or so ago, where their schedule is tougher, much tougher this year. So keep an eye on that. I do like the Packers under. I think that's a bet. It's funny to look at the Patriots, 4.5 wins after all these years, Super Bowl after Super Bowl, dynasty after dynasty. It's not fair how good they are. 20 years of being either in or around the, you know, Super Bowl every season. And they are sitting here at 4.5, the doormat of the league, with no assurances they're going to get better anytime soon. I mean, just because you're bad for a couple of years doesn't mean you're not going to stay bad. I mean, they could just as easily be bad for the next 6, 7, 8, 9 years, just like they were good forever. So it's all about the quarterback. You don't have one, you better find it. And if you don't, and it's a lot easier said than done. So speaking of the Patriots, Aaron Schatz is a Patriot fan, so we'll get his thoughts on who the Patriots should pick, who he wants them to pick, overrated teams, underrated teams. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch his work at FTN Network. You know him as the creator of DVOA. It is the great Aaron Schatz. Aaron, what's going on, man? Good to see you.
Hey, I'm doing well. Off-season's been great. Introduced 1979 and 1980 into our database, which was really fun. Preparing the book, putting all kinds of tables together for the FTN Football Almanac 2024. So I've been busy.
Let's get into it here. We're about a week or so away from the draft. Teams that had a good offseason. We'll start with the positive. I think a lot of people look at the Texans, the trade for Diggs, some of the other signings, and they'll be a trendy team this offseason. Would they be a team that you circle as having a good offseason? Would it be somebody else? Just give me your thoughts on who's had a good group of signings here.
I like what they've done, but they lost about as much defensive talent as they've brought in. And as far as the Diggs trade goes, their wide receivers were already pretty good last year. So I think that the Texans added less from the Diggs trade than the Bills lost, right? It's going to be harder. It's not like there was like one gaping hole in the Texans lineup that Diggs fills, whereas the Bills right now have a gaping hole that they need to fill now that Diggs is gone. So, but I like Houston. And listen, I mean, with C.J. Stroud and with what D'Amico Ryans did with that defense, they were already going to be a super contender for this year. So, you know, they're definitely in it.
Yeah, and they're going to be a popular pick this summer. Them and the Packers, I think, are going to be two of the trendier teams. Young quarterbacks trending the right way.
Yeah.
I don't know. You always see that with football, though. Like, it's just, it's not one, two step forward 1 year and then a third step forward the next year. Sometimes you take a step back. The schedule is going to be much tougher again. We're sitting here in April trying to figure out the schedule. It doesn't always work out that way, but the schedule, at least on paper, does look a lot tougher.
Here's
too.
The big one. Improvement in the second half of the year does not tend to carry over to the following year, even for young quarterbacks. I know that sounds crazy. You want to believe that if you're better in the second half of the year, that of course that's going to roll over into the next season. But the best way to predict how good players will be and teams is how good they were over the whole year, not just if they improved in the second half. So that's more of a statement about the Packers than it is the Texans, because Stroud was good all year. Whereas Love, I think people are looking at that second half of the year and going, well, now he's going to be like that all season. And it's likely that he's not going to be that good all season.
Yeah, and the last thing on the Texans too, you got a good thing going. You got a really good young quarterback in Stroud. I don't know that I want a guy like Diggs in his ear, like, hey, I'm open every play, get me the ball. I don't know that you want him in his head. Do you buy into that or no?
I don't know, because I don't know what the deal is. There's rumors about what went sour for Diggs in Buffalo, and that he had a big fight with Josh Allen at their lockers after the loss to the Jets in week one. But I don't know what the personality issues are there. But, you know, we don't know yet exactly what everything that's good about D'Amico Ryans, but I feel like D'Amico Ryans likely has got a little bit of Mike Tomlin in him, and that is the ability to control that locker room. And so I think with Ryans there, I'm less worried than I might be otherwise.
Anyone else you think jumps out to you that, hey, this team has really improved, they've had a good offseason, they're better than people might think, anyone in the positive?
Well, Atlanta obviously looks like they had a really good offseason, as long as you accept that the peak is that they'll win a division and maybe a first round game. Like, they don't, it's very unlikely that Kirk Cousins turns them into some kind of Super Bowl contender, but they do look like a much better team than they looked like a year ago. And so that's exciting if you're a Falcons fan. I mean, right, it's the never ending debate. Would you rather go like 10-7 and 9-8 every year and kind of be in it? Or do you want to like bottom out and then have a chance at building a true Super Bowl contender? Well, this move makes them, you know, 10-7. So if you're a Falcons fan and you're sick of losing, that probably feels good. I like the Dolphins. Kendall Fuller is a nice addition. Jordan Poyer, you know, cornerback coverage stats are very inconsistent from year to year, but Fuller has been very good for 2 years now. So I feel like there's a better chance that he'll be good again in 2024 than there is for other corners. And then the other one I think I like is the Jets, because they added the offensive linemen, older offensive linemen, and obviously they need to worry about injuries with those guys, but Tyron Smith is still very good.
How about anything in terms of the negative? Anyone you say, hey, I don't like what this team has done. I'm trying to think of anybody that jumps off to my top of my head.
A lot of people have talked about the Cowboys.
Okay.
And I would be down on the Cowboys because of players lost, but I'm not down on the Cowboys because they have not signed free agents. I don't feel like the Cowboys needed to go out there and prove anything by signing a bunch of mediocre free agents that wouldn't really bring anything to the table. Like, it sucks that they've lost players like Tyron Smith and Jaron Curse and other players that they've lost. You know, Gilmore won't leave. But I don't feel like they've lost anything by not going out and signing a bunch of like mediocre linebackers to replace Leighton Vander Esch or anything like that. The other team is the Broncos. I can't tell what they're doing. They're really going to go into the season with Jarrett Stidham as the starting quarterback? Like, I mean, unless they go like drafting Nix or Penix or something, or sign Tannehill, it looks like they're really going to do that and without Jerry Jeudy. And it just, ugh.
Yeah, my guess is they, by hook or by crook, they come away with a quarterback in the draft. And look, they're not in the position where they're drafting one of the premier guys. Like we've seen people get good quarterbacks all around the draft. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, listen, a Tannehill Penix combo, is interesting. Like Tannehill will be the quarterback, and then maybe Penix or Nix develops, that would be. But Jarrett Stidham is not, trust me as a Patriots fan, Jarrett Stidham is not a guy. Not, no.
yeah, and it's funny you bring up Tannehill. I've always been kind of a Tannehill fan. Not that I think he's great, or not even think he's average, but I don't know, slightly below average. I feel like he doesn't get enough mention for what he can bring. Like, I don't think he had much talent at receiver with the Titans. He can move a little bit. I just think
You're
he's
not a big Nick
okay.
Westbrook-Ikhine fan?
I don't know. Do you disagree? Do you think he can give you serviceable if you're one of these teams that's drafting a quarterback or whatever? You just want a decent quarterback. Like the Steelers get Russell Wilson. Like, okay, I get it. That goes back to your point about going 9-8, 10-7. I think they're locking themselves into 10-7. I don't know. Tannehill, not that much money, not that much drama. I feel like he gets
I'm with
slept on a
you.
little
I
bit.
think, yeah, I think he's a good bridge quarterback if you draft one of these kids. I think he's a good bridge quarterback, and maybe that's what ends up happening in Denver, because Denver's not going to get the top four guys. They're not going to get those top four guys. It's going to be Nix or Penix, or I guess Spencer Rattler in like the fourth round, or that kid from Tulane. I don't know.
To me, the most confusing team, and I don't think I prepped you on this, so I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, is Philly. I don't know what to do with Philly. Are they the team that almost won the Super Bowl? And I got to give you credit. You were on my old podcast 2 years ago. I asked you for a sleeper team, and I think Philly was 40-1, and you mentioned them, and they damn near won it. Are they the
Yep.
team that almost won it 2 years ago, or are they the team that basically gave up on life the second half of the season last year?
I
Philly and
think they're
Hurts are
probably somewhere in between,
right.
but there are some interesting moves. Going 3 years younger at edge rusher by trading Reddick and signing Huff, but and giving up on run defense because Huff is not good at run defense. Devontae Parker is like a whatever, like big whoop-de-whoop there. They're prepared for the loss of Jason Kelce, so that's good. They've got Cam Jurgens to go in at center. Barkley is an interesting, it's an interesting idea. Can you turn Barkley into McCaffrey, right? They're the same age, so it's not like Barkley's older or something, but can you turn Barkley into McCaffrey and make him the very rare running back that actually matters? I don't know if they can.
Are you a Hurts believer generally?
Yes. I am generally a Hurts. I mean, let's put it this way. So there's three different types of quarterbacks we talk a lot about. There's the quarterbacks who win for you. There's the quarterbacks you can win with, and there's the quarterbacks you have to win despite. And I think that Jalen Hurts is a quarterback who wins for you. I just think he's the lowest quarterback of that group. Like of the court, right? The highest quarterback of the win with group is Kirk Cousins. And I think the lowest quarterback of the win because of group is Jalen Hurts, but he's in that group.
Yeah, it's funny. Him coming out of college, I was like, I don't see it. I never thought he'd be good. And I completely ate crow. Hey, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. He's a top of the league type player. This was a couple years ago. And
Yeah.
I completely admitted defeat. Now I don't know if I was wrong. Again, I don't know with that
You were,
team
I
with the
think you were
quarterback.
wrong. But not
Yeah.
as wrong as you thought you were too.
Maybe.
He's
I
not
believe.
as good as it looked when they went to the Super Bowl, but he's a special player. He's just not as special as the other special players.
And I worry with all the running, the tush push. Can you keep him healthy for
I'm
20
worried that
something
the tush
games too?
push won't work without Kelce.
That'll be interesting. Oh, that's an interesting point. Because it really hasn't caught on around the league. People say, oh, it's so easy. Yeah, it's so easy for Philly, and it looks easy for other teams. And the quarterback sneak is generally a very effective play. I think we all lose our minds when these teams on 4th and inches, 3rd and inches don't run the QB sneak. But yeah, these other teams haven't perfected the push part of it like Philly has.
Yeah, no, I'm with yeah, Kelce is a huge part of that, and without him, I don't know if it's going to be as successful.
Who do you want your Patriots to pick?
Well, I mean, what I know what they're probably going to pick, which is they will take either Drake May or Jaden Daniels, depending on who Washington takes. And I don't know if I really have an opinion. My Cubase formula likes Daniels more than May. But I am a little scared of Daniels' size, given how much he runs, that he's just an injury waiting to happen. All the top quarterbacks this year are kind of bad at sack to pressure, so they're all going to take a lot of sacks in the NFL. And then honestly, the team is so bottomed out at this point that I think the best strategy for the Patriots in every other round besides the first is to look to trade down. And if they can't trade down, take the best player available no matter what position.
Yeah, it's
Like
a
you
little.
can't go wrong. There's no position where the Patriots can be like, well, we're loaded at this position, so don't take any of those. Like there's no position that's like that. They literally could take the best player available at every pick that they have.
Yeah, and I think the draft sort of gets interesting with them, where we know Caleb's going to go one. We know one of the quarterbacks is going to two. My question has been this whole time, hey, are they happy just taking whoever's left over, or do they have a preference? And if that preference isn't there at three, would they get crazy and trade down or take somebody else or take Harrison or just trade down altogether? That I don't know.
I mean, I'd rather have them trade down as good as Harrison is. The fact is, we all overestimate our ability to recognize prospects. I'd rather trade down and get like Rome Odunze or something, and then have another pick to take guys. But I think they're going to end up taking a quarterback at three. Jacoby Brissett had a great year 2 years ago with Alex Van Pelt as his OC, but they're not going into the year with Jacoby Brissett as the starter. It's not happening.
It's startling after all these years of the dynasty, 20 years, where they're basically in the conference championship or division round or greater. And every year, their win total is 4.5, the
I
lowest on the
know. It's
board.
like doing all the old DVOA years, though, you start to realize that teams do go in waves. Like I just did 1979, and the San Francisco 49ers were like 2-14. I mean, like it all goes in waves. And I wrote in the book, in my biography, in the back of the book, the author bios, every year I've written, someday the Patriots will be very bad and I will say so. And now we're there. Ta-da! The Patriots are very bad, and I will say so. They are. They're bad.
And once you're bad, there's no guarantee. All right, we'll be bad for 2 or 3 years, then we get good again. Maybe you
We
will.
don't
Maybe you just
know.
could be bad for 10 years, 12 years.
Could
It's
be.
just there's no guarantees to any of this stuff.
But I mean, they've established themselves in this area. You got to remember, before Parcells and Bledsoe, this team was
Yes.
going to move. This team was going to move back in the early 90s. And Parcells and Bledsoe brought in the fans, and then Belichick and Brady solidified it. And they are clearly the number one team in town. And even a few years of losing are not going to change that. Like, in order for the Patriots to no longer be the number one team in town, like they would need a few years of losing, and the Red Sox would have to win like four World Series. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, was it 98 or 99? The because I live in Connecticut, they were really used for leverage, Hartford, in terms of hey, we
Oh, the
could,
whole Hartford thing. Yeah, but
yes,
that's a little different because they were still going to stay in New England.
right.
That's a little different than when they were going to move to St. Louis
Oh, I didn't
or
remember that.
Birmingham, Alabama was talked about. Like there are lots of like the Patriots were out of here in the late 80s. They
Yeah.
really were.
I didn't realize that part of it. And I have to tell you, but I think Parcells gets lost in the dynasty of like, hey, who is more important, Brady or Belichick? Like Parcells gets lost. Obviously, those guys are more important, but
Yes,
he
there's
brought in a
no
lot of those
question.
guys, Vinatieri, Brusky, Willie McGinnis. I mean, you go down the line. A lot of those guys are Parcells guys, the first wave at least.
Growing up here, the transformation in what football meant to this region is Parcells and Bledsoe, more than Belichick and Brady. Parcells and Bledsoe made football just as important as the other sports when it had not been. And then Belichick and Brady took it that next step. They won, but it was Parcells and Bledsoe that made people care.
Yeah, and got Belichick in the building. Anything else betting wise for football that looks good to you? Awards, futures, win totals. Last one before we get out of here. Anything that jumps out to you, and just either way.
I haven't really looked at awards. My feeling is always just go with Patrick Mahomes because he's the best
Yeah.
quarterback. Like for MVP, just like that. Obviously we don't know about the rookies yet. I think it's going to be really interesting in the AFC East because the Bills are worse now, and the Dolphins are better, I think, and the Jets are better. And don't forget about a healthy Vera Tucker as far as improving their offensive line, but I have no idea what to expect from Aaron Rodgers. I do not think you can project that Aaron Rodgers is going to be even the quarterback that he was in his last year in Green Bay when he was clearly declined from his greatness. So they may have fixed their offensive line, and then it turns out that the quarterback is a dud.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not the case. Just from a rooting interest, I wanted to see that work last year. I was so disappointed, and maybe with the offensive line, we never would have gotten to see it, but I wanted to see Rodgers with the defense with Garrett. Like, I don't know, that just would have been a fun story. Maybe we'll, you know, with the injury and the age, maybe we'll never find out.
I'll tell you my early projections. An under that it likes is Indianapolis.
Interesting.
Because they've lost a little bit on defense, and on offense, we just don't know what Richardson is. Like, you know, we don't know if Richardson is going to be better than Minshew was last year. I mean, the upside is great. The upside is great. So obviously you want, you know, believe in this guy's upside, but we don't know. He's a rookie. He's essentially a rookie. So I like the under. I don't know what the over under is on Indianapolis in the markets, but my guess is that I would like the under.
And I was impressed from the little I saw of Richardson with the physical talent, but you got to worry about him staying healthy too, because every play with him is like a car crash. I mean, he's
and
just
you want,
so
you got, you don't know what you're going to get for whole season. You could get Justin Fields, right? Where Justin Fields, where the physical talent is impressive and the highlights are impressive and all the stuff in between sucks, you know, in between the highlights, we don't know. Or he could be great. I just have no, I have no idea. And you have to default to the idea that he's basically still a rookie. And that means I think Indianapolis, you would want to go under what the market says.
8.5 wins for Indianapolis.
Yeah, I would go under that. Yep.
Interesting. I do like Steichen as a coach, but you make some good points. The one that jumps out to me, I'm curious what you think. Green Bay, 10.5. Green Bay, that's a lot of wins. Expecting anybody
that is
to get to
a
11,
lot of wins,
that's a lot
to
of wins.
From that defense, too.
And a good division.
Yeah, I probably right now would lean towards the under on Green Bay 10.5. Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah.
What's Cincinnati?
Cincinnati is probably – now, Cincinnati's interesting. I don't know if you've dug into this yet. They have an easy crossover where their three non-common games are Patriots, Titans, Panthers, and the other teams in that division don't have to play those teams.
Yeah, so my earliest projections really liked the Bengals.
I'm sure. Let me pull up their number. My guess is they're around 9, maybe 9.5 here.
Over. On the Bengals.
For some reason, DraftKings doesn't put these in any sort of order. Wow, 10.5. That's
okay. Maybe not over on the Bengals.
We'll
take that back.
10.5's a lot. Yeah, that's
I wouldn't bet that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Aaron, you're the best, man. I appreciate a few minutes here. We'll do this again as the season gets closer. Let everyone know where they can find you.
FTNFantasy.com, in specific, FTNFantasy.com/DVOA. But of course, FTN Fantasy already has a bunch of early projections from Jeff Radcliffe and best ball projections and all kinds of good fantasy and betting data. So FTNFantasy.com is the website where I'm at. And the book FTN Football Almanac 2024 will be out in July.
All right, Aaron. We'll have you on again then, or hopefully soon or around there. Appreciate you coming on.
Sounds good.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Aaron Schatz. Appreciate him joining. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back next week. Talk some NBA playoffs, the week of the NFL draft. Fun time of the year. See you next week.